comes into contact with an immovable object. Soort geval van chaos, nee. An unstoppable force coming into contact with an immovable object. Who gives way? What breaks? And sometimes in life, even as people of faith, we find ourselves in situations where we have this mountain that seemingly doesn't go anywhere, isn't it? Much has been said about having faith to move mountains, and rightly so, and it's good. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we're in a time where we as people of faith are going to have to come accustomed to living with the mountains and not having every single mountain move. Is that a faithless statement? I believe it's practical and it's real in the face of the faith that we have. It's our privilege to share the Word of God with you this morning. Thank you for making the time to register, book online, and join us here physically in our buildings, as well as the folks watching online at home. We trust that God is going to speak into your heart this morning. The title of this message is Patient Endurance, and the concept of having to live with mountains that we face. I think there's a lot that's been said about speaking to the mountains and having the mountains just move. And the truth is, we live in an age of instant gratification, and endurance is something that we are seriously lacking in our culture. How many of you have heard of experienced the concept of a name it and claim it theology? I just name it and claim it in the name of Jesus, and it moet so wees. Now, maybe in all probability, it's based on that scripture in John 14 and verse 14. These are one of the scriptures that maybe you don't know the address, chapter and verse, but you know what it says. And Jesus says, yes, ask me for anything in my name and I will do it. Wie van ons het al die tekst as vir onsself geëis en sê, die Here sê, vra wat jy wil. Ek gaan dit vir jou gee. Omdat I've asked for bikes like oor en oor en oor en oor. I'm just kidding. But maybe that name it and claim it theology is based a little bit on that. However, that verse that Jesus says is 100% true and moet nooit afgewater wees nie and belittled and made of no avail or no effect in our lives, but in the context of 1 John 5, verse 14, which says this, and we are confident that He hears us whenever we ask for anything that pleases Him. Maybe I'm asking for things that's not going to please God because He can see it's not going to be to my benefit in the long run. Some translations say, whenever we ask according to His will. Wie van ons het al gevra vir goed wat glad nie deel van God se wil is nie? Kom ons wees eerlik met mekaar. And ladies and gentlemen, sometimes I believe Christians find ourselves in the middle of a storm. And what are we praying for? Lord, let the storm end, let the storm end. In the meantime, Jesus is busy walking on the water towards us so we can see Him say, come, follow me, walk towards me. Sometimes we're in the middle of the storm, with Him asleep in the boat of our lives, so to speak. We're wanting the storm to end. God is just waiting for us to call on Him so that we can see Him speak and say, peace, be still, to the storm. So I believe there's times that we're going to face mountains in our lives that God has no intentions of removing at all. Why? Because He wants us to learn to climb the mountain, become fit and strong. Now I'm going to show you a little exercise. I want you to close the one eye and take your other thumb and put it in the front of your other eye, right in front. And what does it do? It blocks me out completely, isn't it? Doesn't it appear that your small little thumb is bigger than me? No, ek is nie 'n groot Christen nie. I mean, look at me. I've got to jump around in the shower to get wet. When I was a lightie to give me x-rays, they just used to hold me up to the light. I could so scroll. But anyway, you didn't get that. Well, come see me afterwards and I'll explain it to you. But isn't it so that sometimes our small little problems can seem so big if we just take a few steps back and get a godly perspective? I mean, if you do that, your little thumb can block out the whole moon. How many of us are facing mountains this morning that seem so big and we just want that mountain to go. Yesterday, for the first time, we had the privilege of eating at a certain place for the first time in months. Yay! It was lekker. Colette said, you really want to sit? Yeah, I want to, just because we can sit down and get somebody else to feed us, and it was lekker. And I said to her, I'm looking forward to the day when you walk out and there's nobody wearing masks. I'm looking forward to that day again. And ladies and gentlemen, it's going to come. When is it going to come? Ek weet nie. Maar die werklikheid van sake is nie. Daar's issues wat baie, baie, baie meer ernstig is as COVID-19, julle. Really? There's mountains that people are facing that are way bigger than COVID. There's problems that is facing the people in this country that's bigger than COVID. There's problems in our families that's bigger than COVID. Sometimes there's challenges in our hearts that are, COVID is like, what? Nothing. Gee my COVID enige dag dat ek net oor hierdie ding kan kom waarmee ek nou sukkel. Maybe you're facing a mountain like that. And folks, we're a people of faith, and God is still the same God who answers prayers and raises the dead and causes blind eyes to see and deaf ears to open. And does God is still doing miracles all the time, all over the world. But sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, I think we just need to have the concept of a miracle redefined. What is a miracle? It doesn't always mean that the mountain gets moved. Sometimes God shows a miraculous work in other ways. That thing where Jesus says, ask whatever you will, must be in the context of asking for that which is in accordance with His will. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and verse 36, it says, do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. Remember the great reward it brings you. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. How many of us know people that once started off strong in the Lord and were on fire? Man, jy kon hulle net nie stil hou as het gekom het by die dinge van die Here. Hulle getuig en prys die Here hier en prys die Here daar en God is die en God is daar. Waar is hulle vandag? Hulle is nie as back to square one nie. They worse off than before. You see, we're not called to shooting star Christianity. A shooting star is fast and spectacular and bright. And it's over. And this is not a 100-meter sprint. It is a long-distance marathon that will require persistence and resilience and eitofumur and courage and just refusing to give up. We've got a son in our family planning center at home. A family planning center is the main bedroom, by the way. And the family planning center says, a good marriage is made up of two people who refuse to give up on each other. Refusing to give up in anything in life. And that's what this thing is. When we said, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, God expects us to mean it. And we're going to face challenges and difficulties, even more so as Christians. You want to go like plain sailing through life, just serve the devil. Ek gaan jou uitlos, because he's got you where he wants you, going to hell. Ek gaan jou uitlos. But choose to turn around and walk the other way and live for Jesus, and you become a threat to the kingdom of darkness. What happens then? Maybe there's obstacles that have come across your life and in your path. You wonder, but why, Lord? I'm following you anyway. Imagine the disciples. Jesus says, get in the boat. I'll meet you on the other side. And you know, the storm breaks out. I'm surely there was at least one of them, but thought, so waar is vragtig? It's his fault. If I didn't listen to him in the first place, I wouldn't be in this boat. My life wouldn't be in danger in the storm. If I just stayed rustig on the shore, everything was fine, I wouldn't have all of this panari. Now, because I listened to him, who is he anyway, telling us to get into the boat and meet us on the other side? What's he going to fly there? First class. Imagine that. They must have thought that. If I just, why did I listen to Jesus in the first place? Now my life's in danger. Maybe as a Christian going through that difficult time now thinking, you know, why did I just choose to, I could have just stayed, it was lekker, man. It was one lekker jol before this Jesus stuff. Now you're facing these mountains. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very, very interesting passage of scripture. that a whole passage of Scripture describes, I'm going to look at a few verses quickly, describes what happened in people's lives and things that they're able to achieve and because of faith in their lives. Hebrews 11, here we go. I'm going to check out this. Hebrews 11 gives examples of faith where people done various things. I'm going to go through several verses quickly just to illustrate a point. In Hebrews 11 verse 3, it talks about, by faith we understand that the universe is formed at God's command. Notice, faith comes, then understanding. Verse 4, it was by faith that Abel, XYZ. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch. Verse 7, by faith, Noah. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham. Verse 11, by faith. And so it goes on and on and on and on. It's by faith this one done this. By faith this one done that. And it's great and it's fantastic. And you see all these incredible things that get done because of this thing called faith. And then the chapter really takes a turn and a twist that's like so unexpected. Come with me to verse 35 of Hebrews 11. And verse 35 of Hebrews 11 shows this. It says, there are all these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Just want to, I just want to pick up the beginning of verse 35. Women received their loved ones back again from death. Is that wonderful? How many of you have lost a loved one this morning, and you'd give anything to have that person back now? It says, women received their loved ones back from death. And verse 35, the B part of that, it says, But others were tortured, refusing to turn from God in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after resurrection. Some were jeered at, and others' backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prisons. I'm reading from, I want to give you the translation up here. Others were chained in prisons. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half. Others were killed with a sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, and yet none of them received all that God had promised. Why? I want to tell you that they had just as much faith as the next person. And yet, it was as if an unstoppable force came into contact with an immovable object. I can imagine that those people must have prayed and asked God, Lord, deliver us of this, deliver us of that. Set us free from this. Remove that obstacle. Talk about challenges with government. The government of the day, the people that were expecting Jesus the Messiah to come, they thought that he's going to just tell this government, like he was just going to take the government out and establish a new government. How many of us feel like that? Empty promise after empty promise after empty promise. Everything the government touches turns to destruction, and yet God still says we must pray for our leaders. I believe that God wants us to focus on his kingdom. His kingdom which can reign in people's hearts regardless of who is president. And here's the challenge. The challenge is in discovering what the better is that God has in mind. That scripture there says, for God had something better in mind. What is the better that God has in mind for you by not removing the mountain that's in front of you? I believe God is calling us to a time and a place where we need this patient endurance. The following passage of Scripture describes hardships that disciples faced. And I can tell you, we haven't had it anywhere near as bad as the things that these oaks faced here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, we are hard-pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. How many of you know that song? I get knocked down, da-da-da, and I get up again, and nothing gonna keep me down. I get knocked down, da-da-da-da. I'm really destroying that song, making it very easy for you not to recognize it at all. But there's a song about getting knocked down and standing up, okay? But we're not destroyed. Verse 10, through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. I know this friend whose dad has been ill for many, many, many years. And the guy loves the Lord Jesus with all his heart. And is one of the most giving people that I know. And one time she asked me, you know, Mozzie, why doesn't God just heal my dad? He lives for God. He's such a godly man and a God-fearing man and loves the Lord and loves people and does so much for so many others. Why doesn't God just heal my dad? And I didn't have a clever answer. All that came up in me was, but have you seen what an impact your dad's life has on so many other people when they see his walk of faith, in spite of the fact that God has not healed him? You see, so folks, sometimes I believe that our life speaks volumes and lessons in ways that we never understand. It's like wearing a beautiful chain around your neck. When you have it long enough and wear it every day, naderhand weet jy is nie meer dat dit daar so is nie. Is dit nie so nie? But you come into contact with someone and sees like, wow, what a beautiful chain you've got. And sometimes our life's testimony is like that. You walk with the Lord and have a relationship with God, you don't even realize countless lives that it's busy impacting. Verse 11, yes, we live in a constant danger of death because we serve Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 11. So that the life of Jesus will be evident in our dying bodies. So we live in the face of death, but this has resulted in eternal life for you. But we continue to preach because we have that same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believed in God, so I spoke. And we know that God who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us with Jesus and present us to himself together with you. Verse 16 says, this is why we never give up. Verse 17, for though our present troubles are small and won't last very long, yet they produce for us a glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. What is that glory that outweighs these problems? Folks, I don't know. We're in the process of getting there. And so we don't look at the troubles we can see now, verse 18. Rather, we fix our gaze on that which cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. Sometimes when I drive past a building that's busy being destroyed, do you think that the architect who designed that building in the first place, before one brick was put on another with cement in between, when he was designing that building, do you think he was thinking about its destruction? Probably not. Do you think he was thinking that there would come a time that that building would not stand anymore, his dream project? There would be a time when that building would not even exist. I drive past building sites and you see the building and the insides of the building and the reed bar and the steel reinforcing and how it's built to stand, and the building is busy being destroyed. Things that we think are going to last forever are rapidly, rapidly going and disappearing one for one for one. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. So we're talking this morning about patient endurance. Well, how long? How long must we endure? Folks, how many of you, who said that? That's how long we have to endure. Till the end. When is the end? I don't know. The answer to that is way, way above my pay grade. I don't know how long we'll have to endure, but I know this, that we'll have to endure till the end. Jesus says, Matthew 24 and verse 13, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. We have to endure till the end. Lamentations, this Klaagliedere, 3 and verse 26. In the New King James says, it is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It's good that we should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. More scripture to encourage you this morning. Galatians 6, verse 8 and 9. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But, everybody say but. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. In verse 9. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Just the right time. Now, most of the time, I don't know when it is, but I know there is no better time than God's perfect timing. Do you get that? Most of the time, I'm being honest, I don't know when it is, but I know there is no better time than God's perfect timing. There's no better time. So, at just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. I'm starting to land this thing now. I want to let you think on this concept as I take a sip of water. Gluk, 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 gluk. Could we say, listen carefully to this, it might change the way you think about this forever. Could we say that there is a prayer of Jesus, even Jesus, that has not been answered? I mean, this is God Himself praying. Could we say that there's a prayer of Jesus that has not been answered? Well, let's look at this particular verse. This is Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's arrested. And in John chapter 17, he goes through the prayer of Jesus and we see how he prays first and foremost for his family, his body. And you see the prayer in throughout Scripture. It's all about the body of believers first and then the rest of the world. And even when it comes to caring, the Scripture says that we must first take care of the household of faith. Then others. It's a scriptural principle. First, take care of the household of faith. As the pastor of this congregation is my number one priority. Okay, not many of you believe that. This congregation is my number one priority. Then other people outside the congregation. But this congregation is first. It's a scriptural principle. Jesus prays like that as well. And he prays this. In John 17 and verse 21, he prays this. And he says, he's praying to God. He says, I pray that they will all be one. I submit to you that to a large degree, that has not yet happened. Dis die kerk en daai kerk. En die kerk split en daai kerk split. Die kerk sê jy moet so aantrek, die kerk sê jy moet daai dag aanbid. Die kerk sê jy moet so maak, die ander kerk sê jy moet dien. Nou wie luister ons dan na? Being led by the Spirit of God. You see folks, in John chapter 6, it's good to know the scriptures and have the scriptures and have the Spirit of God quicken scriptures to your heart. But in John chapter 6, it describes how we search the scriptures in vain because in them we think that we'll find eternal life. What? What's the Bible say? In vain we search the scriptures for him. Then in them we think we find eternal life. No, eternal life is in the one about whom the scriptures are written. And that's Jesus. And that's why it's important. You can obey, yes. But you must be led by the Spirit of God and have the Spirit of God interpreting the correct interpretation of the scriptures to you. And I want to tell you folks, that gift, it's not a privilege, it's a gift. It's not exclusively for ministers. You know? It's for anybody and everybody that's hungry enough to say, God, speak to me, and then be willing to hear and obey what God says. Lots of people hear God. Substantially fewer obey what they hear. Come on, Yella. Come on. And it's like that. And Jesus prays and he says this, I pray that they will all be one. I think Jesus knew what was coming when his church would start in the book of Acts after he ascends and the church starts to grow. And we see in scripture, amen, even among the apostles, there was division and fighting. Paul and Mark had a fallout. They saw things differently. Barnabas stuck with Mark. Silas stuck with Paul. Can I tell you, if it wasn't for Barnabas, we probably wouldn't have the Gospel of Mark today. And if it wasn't for Silas perhaps supporting Paul, maybe we wouldn't have the rest of the New Testament scriptures. Because, hulle het nie eye to eye gesien nie, man. Hulle het bietjie gekonk. These are God's apostles. And then we see there's restoration and they're actually useful to each other in ministry afterwards. But Jesus prays, I pray that they all are one as you are in me, Father, and I am in you. And that they may be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. Is it possible that even Jesus has a prayer that's not yet answered? This mountain, so to speak, that Jesus is facing of his church divided and split and gunning un. Can you imagine if Christians all over the world, now I'm not saying we all have to be at the same church all the time. Let there be as many churches as there needs to be, because as long as believers get together, where's the church? There it is. It just so happens that we regularly meet in a building. I'm not saying that. But being unified in our hearts and in our spirits and in our purpose to see the kingdom of God established in people's lives. May God grant us the courage to patiently endure mountains that we won't see removed in our lifetime. Are we ready to say, Lord, I'm going to pull up my bootstraps, gird the belt of truth around my waist, get on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, and my feet with the shoes and the boots of the preparation to go and preach the gospel. And with the armor of God, I'm going to go forward and keep marching on until kingdom come, until Jesus returns. And notice, folks, that in the armor of God, nothing describes protection for our back. Because we're not meant to be turning around and running in the opposite direction. God says in Isaiah that he is our rear guard. He will protect us from the back. We need to keep our eyes focused on God and go through these things one mountain at a time. Now, how does an ant eat an elephant? Coming from Manir, I would have expected him to say 1 gigabyte at a time. An elephant gets eaten by ant, one bite at a time. Mense, begin met die klein, that little pebble in front of you that can just make you like vinger glij. Just exercise the faith to overcome that. And then the next day there'll be that little bit of a bigger stone. Then the next day, like the baksteen. And the next day, a little bit of a rock. And so the next day. And it's like that when we exercise our faith. Now you know me and my story about Jim, right? You know the story about me and Jim. Anybody not know the story? I go to gym in my spare time. And if you look at my body, you can see I don't have a lot of spare time. I can't just go into the gym and bench press 100 kilos. I can. No, I can't. I've got to start with 15 kilograms. And then 25 and 30 and so on. And work my way up to try and bench 100 kilograms. Some of you are thinking, you can't even bench 100. Well, whatever. But you start with the small weights. You don't go there to those massive goeders. You start with the small ones in faith. Don't despise small beginnings. My encouragement to you is, as big as that mountain might seem in front of you that is blocking everything out, move it away. Let it come into godly perspective, and you'll see that it'll help you overcome these things one at a time to the praise and glory of His name. Amen. Say amen.
Amen.
I want to pray for all of us this morning for the mountains and the challenges and the difficulties that we are facing. I want to pray that God gives us the courage to patiently endure in the way that He wants us to for the things that are not going to be removed from our lives. So the folks in the hall next door and in this one here and those watching online, let's pray together, shall we? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, gracious, gracious, loving Daddy, thank You, Lord God, that we are a people of faith. And thank You that You give us faith. Even if we have small mustard seed faith, our faith is in a big God, not in the mustard seed faith. And even if we have faith to move mountains, Lord God, there are times when those mountains are not going to be moved because You have something better in store. I pray for my precious brothers and sisters all over watching and listening as we trust You this morning. We're not praying for the storms to end. We're praying that we will see You walking on the water towards us. We will pray, Lord God, that we will see You rise up and say to the storms, peace be still, and to see that aspect of Your power and nature demonstrated and made real in our lives, Father. I pray for people, Lord God, that are facing difficulties that they just wish would go away, that they are tired of praying. They are sick and tired of being sick and tired. I pray, Lord God, that You would give us the courage to endure till the end and not lose hope, with patient endurance to overcome these difficulties one step at a time. I pray, Lord God, that we would have the courage to face the mountains and learn to climb up the mountains, Lord God, as it will take us to new heights and ascend to new places and see things from a perspective that we've never seen or known before. I pray for those that are downtrodden and discouraged. Lord, would You encourage them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. I'm not talking about temporary happiness that comes and goes, Lord. I'm talking about lasting joy that the forces of hell cannot shake and steal. Encourage them, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Let each person in their walk, Lord God, learn to hear You. May each person learn to be led by You, Holy Spirit, and follow Your guiding and Your leading. May we learn to not lean on our own understanding, but to in all our ways acknowledge You, Father, as You make the path clear for us, Lord, to the praise and glory of Your name. So encourage us, Lord God, to overcome whatever it is that we're busy facing now, and give us the strength and equip us to face that which is coming in the days ahead. And I pray this all, Lord, so that Your glory can be seen in and through us, so that in the midst of difficulties, we can find comfort, courage, and peace, and a dying world can see that we are people of hope, a people of love, a people of faith, who's loved by God, in Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up His countenance over you and give you supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. Thank you so much for making the time to fellowship with us this morning. Do it to them before they do it to you, and show random acts of kindness. God bless you and have a super week.